Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. California has the largest Native American population in the country, with more than 700,000 people in the state and over 100 federally recognized tribes. In April, Governor Gavin Newsom, in collaboration with tribes, broke ground on the California Indian Heritage Center. Located in West Sacramento, the new center will look to honor and preserve the history of indigenous people in the state for future generations. Helping to coordinate these efforts and bring the center to life is the Governor's Office of Tribal Affairs, led by Secretary Christina Snyder Ashtari. And she joins us today to tell us more about it. Welcome to Insight.
Thanks for having me.
So the Office of Tribal Affairs is pretty new. So just tell us a little bit about what this office does.
Sure. So the Office of Tribal Affairs, we established a few years ago within the governor's office. And originally, it was the Office of the Tribal Advisor. And in both roles, it basically advises the governor on all things tribal, all things Native American, all things indigenous. And those are different things throughout the state. When I talk about all things tribal, we talk about the federally recognized governments throughout the state that you mentioned. We've got 109, which is the second largest number of tribes throughout the state, all distinct jurisdictions, and they all have their own laws, their own processes for elections, their own processes for figuring out what their policy priorities are. So the governor has a relationship with each one of those tribes. We meet with them every year, and we pivot and iterate on how we move forward on policy based on those discussions and those consultations.
How did you start getting involved with this and eventually become the Tribal Affairs Secretary?
Well, so I have a background in federal Indian law. I'm a member of the Dry Creek Rancheria Band of Pomo Indians in Sonoma County, California. Federal Indian law is basically the study of how Indian law works in the United States. It's based in pre-American international principles of treaties and the like. And there's also tribal law, which is, like I told you, all of the jurisdictions that have adopted their own laws. So getting into this work is kind of something that I think a lot of Native people do if they're looking to make a difference for tribes in the United States. Have had a career in Indian law and tribal law, did some work in D.C. on behalf of all Native peoples, and came back to California to do some more focused work that I thought could impact California Native people.
Why are you so passionate about this?
I think, as you've heard, I've got a personal tie, but I also think growing up in California, I grew up in the Los Angeles area. We didn't really learn about California tribes growing up. And so to me, it felt like a massive, it's a very hard thing when you grow up as a California Indian person in California, at least in the 90s, because you're learning about all of these people, all these cultures. It's one of the most diverse places in the world growing up in Los Angeles. And you never really learn about your own people or the people of that place. So we would learn about, you know, the Trail of Tears, for example. Awful thing to happen, significant piece of history in the United States. But we had multiple Trails of Tears that happened in California, and a lot of them happened at the creation of the state. And so to me, growing up, it felt like there was kind of this massive space where we should be learning a lot more about Native people here. And working in my career in law and policy, it also felt like we couldn't really be as effective as we wanted to be because nobody even knew we existed. They didn't know the nuance and the diversity of California Indian people and why there are differences in statuses, why there's differences in how well tribes are doing today. And so it just, to me, this work has felt like kind of a labor of love of wanting people to learn more about the unique, diverse cultures that are so foundational to this place, embrace those cultures as the first cultures of this place, and really take a burden off of California Native people to have to tell those stories themselves, or tell those stories and have people understand and embrace those stories.
Yeah, and I would think that's where a center comes in. You know, it's a piece of that. So tell us a little bit about the California Indian Heritage Center. Where did the idea first come from?
So it actually first came about almost 100 years ago. There was, it's very much tied to this history of Native American remains and artifacts. And what had happened in the early 1900s was the state, California State Parks, had a sizable collection that was donated of Native American remains and artifacts. At the time, state parks and UCs and CSUs, everybody who's now kind of on blast for not repatriating these items, would take these items as caretakers. And typically, it would be from sort of amateur collectors who would just pick things up, and they weren't even really, like, either they were taking them in a bad way, or they were collecting and not actually telling, like, figuring out where they were from. So there was a sizable collection, and at the time, the concept of a state Indian museum came about more in a kind of colonizer learning about a dying culture way versus, you know, celebrating a living culture that is embracing its history, its ancestors, and wanting to tell you more about who we are in the modern era. And so fast forward, we have a state Indian museum that was established at Sutter's Fort. If you go there,
in downtown.
Mm-hmm. And if you go there, Native people have actually kind of embraced it as our own. We just had the honoring of elders celebration there last weekend, and elders come from throughout the state to be honored. But it's really kind of an ugly place to have a place to honor Native people, and it's a very small building if you want to celebrate and convene in a place like that. So in the early 2000s, there was some funding put into figuring out a center that could actually celebrate Native people, where any of these collections that felt like they needed to be displayed could be there, that Native people could access this place and could really express who Native people are in their own words and stories. And so that effort resulted in a master plan and a business plan. And then, as you're probably aware, we had some financial difficulties in this state around 2007, 2008. And that effort kind of just sat. So fast forward to 2018, and Governor Brown had a surplus and wanted to do some cool stuff. And so in our budget in that fiscal year, he committed $100 million of state funding with an additional $100 million of fundraising authority, saying, basically, this needs to be a public-private partnership, and really put kind of a lot of effort into moving forward this idea of not just a museum, but a gathering place, a place where tribes can, like an embassy, where tribes can hold meetings when they're in Sacramento, and a place that really feels Native. So that's kind of the history. It's been a long time coming. A lot of people have spent a lot of their lives working on
this. Yeah, I mean, gosh, going back more than a century and in the modern era, you know, for almost a decade now, or I guess two decades, because it started in the early 2000s and the recession hit. So this is going to be a lot larger, of course, than what exists at the State Indian Museum State Historic Park at Sutter's Fort. So this is a 51-acre property at the confluence of the American and Sacramento rivers in West Sacramento. Help us visualize, you know, what this is going to be for people to take in.
Well, if you go to that site, you can look out at the confluence and you can actually see where the rivers come together. It's a really interesting visual. And so that visualization of two different things converging into one thing, I think, is a really nice representation of what this will be, where it's meant to be a lot of outdoor spaces, a lot of trails, a lot of seasonal outdoor classrooms and places where outdoor Native games can be played, where ceremony can happen. But then also an indoor facility that feels Native and also welcoming. So what's envisioned, we did a very big public engagement process, tribal consultation process over the past few years, and really redesigned what this would look like based on some climate change, actually, because the river, the flood zone, it's not a 100-year flood zone anymore. It's actually much more frequent than that. So originally in that early 2000 effort, a lot of the physical features were on that potentially wet side of the levee on that site. The re-envisioned Indian Heritage Center has a lot of the physical features on the dry side of the levee or at level to the levee. And so basically, you'll come in from West Sacramento, you'll be welcomed into a welcome area that we're in consultation with the local tribes on right now, and that we'll actually have a ribbon cutting later this year. You'll go into the facility, go into the places where either Native people are hosting things and teaching you about their own practices, or where there's items that we've consulted with them to be able to display. So really putting handing the keys back to Native people to tell their own stories on their own terms, and then having a really easy transition over that levee area into these places where there's outdoor gathering spaces for people to enjoy.
It sounds beautiful. When is it expected to be finished? I know that there was a groundbreaking earlier this year.
So there was a groundbreaking. We're approaching it in a phased process. And so the groundbreaking for this year was for the welcome area that will feature, you know, a gathering space, a gathering amphitheater. We'll also have the welcome to place from the local Native tribes. And we'll also have trail features so that site is really much more usable. The next phases are actually the more building phases. And so those are in process. Those will take several years, but they will be phased. So I anticipate within, you know, the next, let's be optimistic, the next 5 years we'll have a center up and running that is run by and for primarily Native people, but for the benefit of all people who come to Sacramento.
What does it mean to you, the fact that, you know, the wheels are now really starting to move? The project broke ground just a few months ago.
I think we're at this time of amazing movement in general. Like, I think this year, a lot of things that we had hoped for are actually materializing. And so I think, to me, it feels like in this work, you have a lot of people making promises. And a lot of times it's like it's a headline there. And, you know, 5 years later, it never really comes to anything, or someone else like takes it out. And so I think this actually breaking ground and having, you know, a physical place that people can see there's actual movement happening. It feels like both from the state perspective that we're making real those promises and demonstrating to the public that the things we have been doing are actually going to bear fruit. And from the Native perspective, I think when you're working for the state, there's always this challenge of like, is this real? Am I doing it? Like, are people just like patting me on the head and telling me I'm doing it? And so like, I think it actually happening feels like, like everybody is really kind of moving in the right direction now.
Well, Secretary Eshtari, thank you so much for joining us with an update. You'll have to continue to come back as this project moves forward.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
And that is Secretary Christina Snyder Eshtari from the Governor's Office of Tribal Affairs. We've been talking about the new California Indian Heritage Center, which broke ground in West Sacramento earlier this year. That is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast on Apple or Spotify. If you want to email us, we're at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producers Andrew Garcia, Sarit Lashinsky, and editor Jen Picard. Insight's technical director and audio engineer is Mark Jones, and our original music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. I'm Vicky Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy Science Friday. We'll catch you back here on Monday.